and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Theodore Roosevelt says, "Do what you can with what you have where you are." Wasn't that a statement of reality today from the standpoint of we all can make a difference? And sometimes making a difference means doing a little thing that has a big impact. And the little thing that we do, that in this case God leads us to do, we might not even know the impact that we will have 1 year, 10 years, 20 years down the line. But if we obey God and do as He leads us to do, as we feel prompted or we feel impressed to do, we'd be surprised at how God moves. Such is the case with a lady who cared for a gal from Cambodia and helped her get medical care. Such is the case with a young man who, 10 years into marriage, with aspirations to go to Cambodia to do missions. And then he faces an unexpected moment, a brain tumor, that puts his plans to a halt. In all these things, can God work in our lives purposefully? Can He work redemptively? I believe the answer is yes. And that's why today we share that Jesus has His arms outstretched. God sends His only Son, Jesus Christ, out of His love for you and for me, for us, to die on the cross for our sins, to shed His blood on the cross, to wash our sins away, to be buried, yes, but to be raised again on the third day. And I declare to you, my friend, that it is the living Christ who has worked in Blaine Deloche and his wife Saran Deloche, and He will work in your life as well. And so as I introduce my guest in this part two of our part two feature, Blaine Deloche was raised in Jackson, Tennessee, about an hour outside of Memphis. He met his wife, Saran, while they were both at Union University, a small Southern Baptist university there in Blaine's hometown. They married. And of course, to hear more about Saran's background as a Cambodian refugee here coming to America, a gripping story, you need to hear part one. But having said that, let's get into the story of Blaine Deloche and even more of his dear wife, Saran. Blaine, I mentioned that you grew up in Tennessee. What was it like for you growing up there?
The town I grew up in, Jackson, pretty small town. And I grew up in a Christian family. So pretty much, you know, the old thing, 9 months before you, were born, you basically started attending church. So that was my story. And then when I was 8 years old, first time I remember really listening to the gospel and hearing how Christ had died on the cross for our sins, that God was holy and the only answer to the sin problem is Christ taking our place, substituting Himself for us, and us placing our faith in Him, the only solution for the sin problem being that in Christ, that acceptance of Him. And so that was when I was 8 years of age, became a Christian. Following that through the youth years and all that, just continually growing, you know, in Christ through, you know, the basics of Sunday school, discipleship training, through youth camps and all the rest. And then during my high school, or the senior year of high school, I felt like God's touch upon me to enter full-time Christian ministry. And so when I went to Union, that's what I majored in, religious studies. And so 4 years of university work for that. And then following that, 3 years of seminary to get my Master of Divinity degree in Memphis at Mid-America Baptist Seminary. And then following that, always wanted to, I knew originally, Saran and I met at Union. I was always intrigued by her. You know, it's just something within me. You know, in the South, it was, at that time at least, it was primarily either white or black, just those two cultures. And here comes an Asian into the mix at Union, and she's one of maybe 10 Asians who are there.
Six.
One of six. And so just being intrigued by her. And so talking about God's providence, this is God's providence. He put me and Saran's brother in the same dorm this one particular year. And so I had never really thought much about Saran. I knew her, of course, and we'd been on a mission trip together previously, but never really thought about me and Saran hooking up or getting together or anything like that until her brother moved in with me and we were dorm mates. And then I began to really notice Saran that, hey, you know that girl, she's pretty good looking and she loves Jesus, so let's see if we can get something going on here. And so after we hooked up and stuff and marriage, then, you know, I was really intrigued, I guess, to say all that, I was intrigued by her culture and even some of the stuff that, as we were dating, we began dating, she would share different stories about, you know, Cambodia.
And did you know about her background?
No, not at all. You know, her brother, yeah.
Until you, Sam, my brother, shared with you about our family history, yeah.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Her brother did, mm-hmm. you know, share certain things with me, but I didn't know the full story.
Now, coming from Tennessee.
Yeah.
Growing up in the church, I mm-hmm. mean, like you said, nine mm-hmm. months before you were even born, you were in church, right?
Right.
How did it grab you? Hearing something otherworldly, as it were.
Yeah. Oh, just remarkably. When I was in college, I grew in my faith, you know, my youth group years and all that. But in college, there were a couple of guys who were 2 years ahead of me in school. And they really kind of just took me under their wing, and not in a formal manner, but just, I remember going to their dorm rooms and, you know, they'd say, hey, God's so good. Let's just get on our knees and let's pray. And, you know, these guys were, you know, I was a sophomore in school. They were seniors. And I remember just laying on my face before God with another guy and him just showing me how to pray, teaching me how to pray. And, you know, just through that, really growing in my faith. Mm-hmm. And then when I met Saran, it was like God just opened up my eyes to there's a whole new world out there. You know, there's something that, you know, growing up, I'd never experienced it, that I was close to, that my mind was close to. And mm-hmm. and yet growing in faith in Christ, you know, there was growing within me a desire for the nations, mm-hmm. to reach the nations. And I think if God hadn't placed me and Saran providentially together, I wonder if I would have just stayed in my hometown and never left. Or anyway, just in the South and just pastored small churches in the South. Mm-hmm. But instead, He put Saran and I together, mm-hmm. and it just opened up my eyes to the world. And I praise God. Because after that, I always wanted to minister cross-culturally, mm-hmm. because of her story and all the rest that she shared. And so that's when we went to California, also got a degree from California.
I want to share about just the beginning. You know, in my culture, I didn't date. I was not allowed to date. Even though I grew up in the U.S., I still carry my own culture to where the marriage was arranged marriage. However, my parents, they became believers, became follower of Christ as well. So when I came, my parents were living in California at this time, so I came to Tennessee to attend college through my mentor, the one family, one couple that, you know, the church that I attended in Memphis. And so they were like my guardian. And at the same time with my brother, my oldest brother, being able to attend Union with me. So he was my watchdog, so to speak. My parents allow me to come because I have an older brother who's going to watch out for me. He's going to watch what I'm doing. So I wasn't allowed to date. So when Blaine asked me out, it wasn't like a date. It was just, you know, we were going out as friends, and I was okay with that. But time,
you thought it wasn't a date.
I thought it was. I was very naive. I thought it was just, you know, friends going out, hanging out, and so I was okay with that. However, as time goes on, you know, that's another story in itself. However, the neat thing about my husband Danny is he was just a humble guy who. Just, you know, he has ears to listen to people, and that's, you know, I was a senior when he asked me out, and he was a junior, so I'm an older woman. I'm a year older than he is, and I've observed him that he was always just listening to people, just, you know, there'll be the one talking, and he'd be the one listening, and that was really what caught my attention, because we were in an organization to where, you know, students interact a lot, and but when he wanted to marry me, he went to his parents. Because, you know, again, in the South, you know, the white people go to the white church, the black people go to the black church, so you segregate it in your social life, you know, maybe you interact as students and whatnot, but most of the time you stay with your own race. And his parents, one of his parents, when he said, I want to marry Saran, his parents said...
Let's stop right there, because we'll come back to that after our break. I want to hear what your parents,
okay.
one of your parents, had to say.
I want to hear what she's going to say, too, because my mom may hear this, Saran. So.
Well, and when she hears it, she'll hear it in full.
That's right.
We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, you'll get to hear the rest of the story. By the way, training for missions. Wow, God gave Blaine a gift to listen. I mean, to really listen to people. Oh, we can learn so much. Learn about their culture, yes. Become more sensitive, sure. But understanding people's hearts, oh, we got to listen. Mm-hmm. We got to listen. Mm-hmm. Missionary Training 101. You got to listen. And we'll listen when we come back. Stay with us. We'll hear more.
Mm-hmm. Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Oh yeah, that's a big challenge, The challenge of what do you do when all you know is, you know, whites and blacks, and the white, maybe they mix in maybe sports, maybe a little bit in school, but hey, in your life, in your family life, whites marry whites and blacks marry blacks. And you know, there was this word that has been known as called segregation, and over the course of modern American history, Martin Luther King Jr. and his movements, and there's been changes, but that would be arguable to some people. They might say, well, okay, segregation has been overcome, and someone else might say, well, I don't know about that. And someone else might even say, but Danny, there's a thing called resegregation now where things are happening more and more. But what about the Christian faith?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What about if your son or your daughter or my son or my daughter comes home with someone from, well, let's just say, in a white family or in a black family, they come home with someone from a different race.
Mm-hmm.
What then? Yeah. What does your Christian faith say about that? Well, that's a bit of a challenge that our guests can speak firsthand about. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Blaine and Saran Delos are in studio. They are the pastors, leaders of Palisades Baptist Church, palisadesbaptist.org. Well, let's get into it. What happened, Saran? You left us on the edge of the cliff, as it were. What about your mother-in-law? And she's listening now, you know, and she's probably going to hear what you're going to say. What happened?
Well, you know, my husband went to his parents and said, you know, when I was playing baseball, the summer I would play baseball, I'm going through my football summer. Saran is out there in Cambodia running for her life, fighting for her life, and so I want to marry her. My mother-in-law actually shared this with me later on, and her question was, well, what about the ministry? And my husband said, what about the ministry? She said, aren't you called to be a pastor? And he's like, yes. Are you still called to pastor a church? And he's like, yes. Well, what about that? And he's like, well, what about it? And her thinking was, you know, will the church accept him and his wife and the children that we're going to have? Because you see, there were, you know, this is in the early 90s. I mean, we think
not very long ago.
Yeah, not very long ago. Mm-hmm. But it was still like that. You know, you love them, but interracial marriage, it was very uncommon. Unlike Hawaii. So my husband said, well, what about it? You know, I still feel called into the ministry. And so her question was this concern for our family. And she said that, well, what if the church don't want you, you know, you and your family? He said, well, then I just won't go there. And she's like, okay. And once again, you know, Hawaii is just another world away or anywhere else. I mean, it's just that. And so he's like, I just won't go there. And so she's like, okay.
The funny thing is, you know, my first pastor in Hawaii was at Elieli Baptist Church in Elieli, Kauai. So, the we arrived, and there wasn't a single couple in the church that wasn't
mixed.
Yeah, that wasn't interracially married.
And I think what Blaine was wanting to say was, so we got married, but before that, my family, my own parents have their own reservation themselves. And like, oh, well, you weren't marrying a white person? Because they have their own stereotype of white people. Their stereotype was, you know, what they see on TV, right? They're morally loose people and all these things. And so that was the misconception that my parents have.
Cuts both ways. Huh?
Yes. Yeah, and so it's like, oh, you're going to, and they're like, oh, watch, your marriage will not last more than a year or maybe 4 years at most. And that was, I mean, they weren't just thinking it, they spoke it.
And these are Christians.
Yeah, no, they were not. These people were not.
Yeah, this was,
but my parents were thinking that. That's what people were saying.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're thinking about what others
they
were
thinking mm-hmm. about me marrying a white person mm-hmm. because they see that, you know, there were a few other marriages that did not last. And I said, no, these are Christian people. We have different standard and different moral.
In light of that, what difference has your relationship with Christ made in your marriage, mm-hmm. Meaning that it's a mixed marriage?
You know, when people said that your marriage would not last, and I would say I would agree if I were not a believer. You know, interracial marriage or intercultural marriage is very interesting. I mean, you have, you know, not only your own family culture, you have your own racial culture. But having Christ, and that's a commonality that we have, is that we both know the Lord. And when there's conflict arise, we have to go to the scripture. You know, this is what we are to love. This is how we are to resolve our conflict. So I can definitely say that the love of Christ and having Christ in our lives as the center is the one anchor that we know that will stand, you know. In a marriage.
Uh-huh. I think when we were dating, for me, it was really interesting learning about your culture mm-hmm. and, you know, learning about how, you know, things operated, how your family, because I'd visit your family on and off. Mm-hmm. And so the different foods, the different ways that you guys interacted with each other and all that. It was very interesting for me.
What was it? What interested you, intrigued you?
Yeah, I think just the foods and they lived in a part of, by this time when we started dating, a very rough area of Memphis. An apartment building that was only Cambodian. However, it was in a black area of town. And a lot of drugs, a lot of, you know, gang fighting, drug dealing, all the rest. And except in their one little apartment building, which was entirely Cambodian. And so it was kind of like a little Cambodia. And so, you know, that they come from
a Cambodian enclave, huh?
yeah, exactly. So that, to me, that was really neat to see them, you know, little Cambodia, like you said, and just see how it was almost like a village type of life, how they shared things with each other, how they all knew each other. You know, one of them lived on one side of the apartment, another one would live way down on the other side, and yet they all knew each other. And, you know, we come from an environment where, okay, I really wonder, even in an apartment type of building, would you even know the guy who lives next to you or the guy who lives downstairs? You might say hi to him, but have you really got to know them? Mm-hmm. And so that was the thing that was different about them, about the Cambodians, is it was kind of like, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, it was like community and it was like relationships, because they all... you know, came together during
share the, food. Like if one family makes something that you have to give, you know, in some way it's similar to Hawaii culture. Mm-hmm. If we make, you know, what is it? What they call lumpia here? You give to everybody on your block. Mm. You know, and so that type of community.
Yeah, I think that really interested me because, you know, my family was a typical American family in the sense that, yeah, we live in our own little box. Mm-hmm. So you get in your own little box, your car, you drive to your own little box, your workplace, and you drive back to your own little box again, your house. And so we live so separate from one another, really. And
well, I want to, you know, so when my mother-in-law, you know, my husband, he's the baby of three boys. He's the youngest. His oldest brother, 12 years older than him, and then 8 years, and then him. And so he was growing up like a grandchild. So when he came to visit my parents and I, this is the senior year, my college year, we lived. My family had just moved back from California. They left everything behind, and they drove in a Delta 88 to move back to Memphis, Tennessee, and we start over again. My family have moved around so many times, I can tell you, Danny, probably at least 30 times. So we lived in this apartment literally on the railroad track. And so when my mother-in-law, my then Blaine was starting, you know, we were still dating, came knocking on my door. I mean, they had to kind of look because the buildings have, you know, like gunshot marks and stuff. And so to think that he's going to marry this girl, you know, as a mother, I would have reservation too, to marry somebody, you know, culturally totally different. And not only that, you know, he's from a middle class family, and we're, you know, we have nothing materially. We have nothing compared to the American standard. So I think that was another, you know, not only were we culturally, you know, socioeconomically, my family were very poor. I went to Union University, a private college, by the grace of God. That's another thing, how God's plan orchestrated my life and for us to be together. And so I think, if we don't get back, is that my parents-in-law, his parents, you know, after hash it out, before our weddings, they were the greatest people. Their eyes were open. Their friends, my in-laws' friends, received me and loved me. And I think we, through our marriage, we've opened their eyes to a whole new world that God loves not only, you know, the white people, but he loves all people. And that's the thing about, the beautiful thing about Hawaii is, it's like, you know, this is what heaven's going to be like. People from all culture, that's nations, right, worshiping the Lord.
That's as right. Much as so, we want to be accepted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, we have that in us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need to do is go into a place where you're a minority.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be
mm-hmm.
accepted.
Mm-hmm.
We also need to allow others mm-hmm. to accept us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's a fine line there, but I think it could be a life-changing awareness.
Yeah.
Something I've been learning. I wouldn't say I've learned it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm learning it, but not only do I want to be accepted, but mm-hmm. in order maybe to be accepted, I need to let others
yeah.
accept me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to let someone accept you, maybe from a different culture, maybe from a different place in life, maybe a different social strata.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we try to say those things don't exist, yeah, they exist.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you identify them or not, they exist everywhere. Mm-hmm. But will you let someone accept you? And most importantly, as we go to our break, would you let your heart be accepted by Christ? Now he accepts you if you open your heart to him, but in your heart, are you willing to let him accept you? And as such, your heart opens to him. Sometimes it's so hard, isn't it? Could it be that we can't accept someone accepting us because we really don't accept ourselves? Maybe God wants to show us a different part of that. And so he uses Saran and Blaine DeLoach, a Tennessean and a Cambodian. Now they're living in Hawaii. They're Hawaiians. Two cultures together.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Now, one person can make a difference, right? Do you know that in your life right now that there are certain people, maybe one person that God would have you to connect with? Maybe you're already connected with them. And it's not some grand thing that needs to be done. It's just an arm, a handshake, some way to reach out to them. And we want to encourage you to do that here at the Good Life Radio Show. And I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so glad you're with us today. So Ron DeLoach, her husband Blaine DeLoach, he's a pastor at Palisades Baptist Church. You know, before our break, I talked about a Cambodian, I talked about a Tennessean. Now they're living in Hawaii. How does God do that? Well, God can work in their life. God can also work in your life. Find out more about this program, thegoodlifehawaii.com, and find out more about their ministry at palisadesbaptist.org. Well, let's bring it back. From Tennessee and from family and from acceptance. Talk to us about your ministry today at Palisades Baptist Church.
Yeah. Let me go back. I'll start it off about the ministry. somewhat going back to Saran's story about how she came to know Christ. And I think this is really neat because in our church here at Palisades, we have quite a large seniors ministry. And these seniors, they love the Lord. They've been walking with the Lord for a long time. But even with, retirees and an older crowd and all that, I think that, we all have got to understand that no matter what place we are in life, no matter what stage of life, no matter what age, career, retirement, whatever, that God's not done with us yet. Not until somebody lays our body in the grave are we finished with what God wants us to do here. With Saran's family, it was several retirees, and I kind of mentioned this previously in part one, but they had banded together and said, we're going to reach out to these refugees who've come in. And Cambodians came in at the same time in the early 80s, Vietnamese, Laotian. They all came in to Memphis at this one particular time. And this group of retirees, maybe, 6 to 8 of them, something like that, 8 to 10, they decided there was an apartment building, not too far from their church. They decided these are the ones we're going to target, the Cambodians who've come in. Mm-hmm. And so they just simply, as Saran mentioned before, took them around to know how to, or took them to the doctor, took them to the grocery store to know how to shop in America when it was all market style in Cambodia. They didn't know how to, shop in an American grocery store. They saw all this food on the shelves and they thought, well, what do you do? Just take the food and it's, it's free. Run out of the store with it. They didn't know any of that stuff. And so these American Christians took Saran's family and took the other Cambodians under their wing and showed the love of Christ to them. And through that, shared the gospel, and Saran and her family became Christians. And these were retirees who you would say, well, and a retiree could sit back, a senior could sit back and say, well, you know what, God's finished with me. Let some of the younger ones, now do the work. We did it while we were young. And so let's let the young folks now do the ministry. But God's not finished with you yet. God still wants to do great things through you. And so that would be my call to those out there who may be older in years, who may be retired, who may be out of even beyond retirement, by quite a few years. God's not finished with you. God has a lot that he wants to do, not only in your life, but also through you in the lives of other people. And
there's a part of doing a lot,
mm-hmm.
where when we say a lot, it's a relative term,
mm-hmm.
but it can be overwhelming.
Mm.
And people, the overwhelming sensation of it could cause someone to not do much at all. Might cause them not to do anything.
Right.
Whereas they focused, using your example, they focused on the Cambodians.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the simple things that had a profound effect. Mm-hmm. And I think just sort of piggybacking on what you're saying is to narrow it down to something workable and then turn it into a practical application.
Exactly.
And leave the rest to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Did that lady who took you to the doctor or who took your parents to the supermarket,
mm-hmm.
did she know that one day your parents' daughter or you who had the pot belly was going to be sent back to Cambodia to be a missionary to your own people? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that if it was sort of a far thought, mm-hmm. a thought of faith that God could indeed do that. Mm-hmm. But look at what God did. Mm-hmm. Look at what God is doing right now. Mm-hmm. But she just took you to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She shared the love of Christ, took your parents to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm just trying to expand a little bit, Blaine, on sure. what you were trying to say. Am I on the right
yeah.
track?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's those little things that do a lot, I guess you could say. Taking someone under your wing and taking them to the grocery store. Someone under your wing and taking them to, whatever checkup, a visit, something like that.
And she did not have to worry. Mm-hmm. When she grows up, she's going to need to go to college. And how is she going to go to college? You know, how are we going to help her pay for Union University? Yeah. I mean, that's a private Christian university. Leave all that to the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it. Just take them to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. You can do something, right? Mm-hmm. Dear friend? I mean, I can do something. Saran and Blaine, hey, we all... But imagine, what if we all do something, a little something, corporately, together? A little something in our own world.
Yeah,
that's a great lesson. That's a great reminder, Blaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's, exactly what you said, to piggyback off of you too, Danny, that, I go back and I think about that they couldn't have been aware of, they've passed on now. And they couldn't have been aware of how much God was going to do through this one little Cambodian girl that they reached out to, over 30 years now, something like that. Mm-hmm. They could have never known what God was going to do through her life, through her going back to or coming to Hawaiian ministry and going back to Cambodia. We served a couple of years in Malaysia's missionaries, Islamic country. Coming back to Hawaii again and pastoring at Palisades, and of course being a pastor's wife, just as integral to the ministry as anything else.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. So they could have never known that, but yet one little gesture of Christian love went a long, long way, and just amazing.
Well, I'm looking at Blaine and Saran Deloach. Blaine pastors, and of course Saran is his support right there in the pastoral ministry. They've been on Kauai, they've been in different parts of Southeast Asia, serving one life at a time. It's very profound, because the impact is eternal. One person kind of makes me think of Mother Teresa, who talked about, just one. Mm-hmm. Don't think about the masses. Just one, and there the difference is made. Yes. When we come back in the last segment, something practical for someone who is in depression. Yeah. Maybe had a head injury, a brain tumor. Maybe someone who is lonely because of a loss, unexpected, maybe someone so dear to you, maybe a loss of job, maybe a loss of hope. When we come back, more hope, more to gain in Christ. From Saran and Blaine Deloach. Stay with us, we'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. people like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, so far in this two-part feature, we've spent quite a bit of time in Cambodia, and this was a rough time in Cambodia in the 70s. I mean, you know, you've heard the mention of the boat people. You've heard the mention of Cambodian refugees. We talked about the killing fields and mm-hmm. Dith Prom and yeah. Hang Noor and that 1985 blockbuster movie that really mm-hmm. gave us a depiction of the reality of, even a glimpse of the reality of what people were going through. Mm-hmm. And here today, we've been able to hear from Saran. Mm-hmm. Saran Deloach and her husband Blaine, Pastor mm-hmm. Blaine Deloach of Palisades Baptist Church. Find out more about their ministry at palisadesbaptist.org. We've traveled from there. They've talked about Malaysia. They've talked about Tennessee, Kauai, LA, Kauai. They've talked about being here in Palisades. Yeah. But we've also talked about loneliness. Mm-hmm. We've talked about depression. It brings to bear the reality today that someone might be depressed, Blaine.
Yeah.
Saran.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone might be feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a loneliness that can be while we're surrounded by many people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lonely right. on the mm-hmm. inside. Mm-hmm. One can be depressed and mm-hmm. still go to work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Might be a low-lying depression. Or maybe someone like how I did might be crawling up underneath a desk or curled up in a fetal position
yes.
right now. Mm-hmm. Or know of someone who is. Mm-hmm. What would you say, Saran, mm-hmm. about or the word of comfort to someone who's experiencing loneliness? You know what that's mm-hmm. like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know when I heard about Christ? This is when I came to the U.S. and the church that I attended, and through the preacher, you know, said, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you if you were the only person in the world, that he loves you, and he loves you so much that he died for you. If you just trust him, that he promised to be with you all the time until your last day. And I remember thinking, you know, Lord, why didn't you come to me sooner? Of course, he didn't, you know, he didn't apply in the audible voice, but he's like, here I am now. And so because of that, because of his love through scripture that says Jesus died for me, as you share a few times, that Christ loved me so much that he died on the cross for me and that he rose again on the third day. And that he is now alive, and that if I accept him and I trust him to save me, then that I would have Jesus in my life. And I remember accepting him, and I remember thinking, okay, now that I won't be lonely, that I will have Jesus all of my life. And there's one song, I don't know if you've heard of Twyla Paris. She's an old singer, and one of her songs, it says that, you know, I'm all alone, but I'm not lonely. And that used to really touch my heart, because now even some people, they can be in a room full of people that they can still be lonely. But I remember thinking that I'm all alone, but I'm not lonely because I have Christ in me. And so I think, you know, our human loneliness is real, but Christ, when he come into your life, he is so real. He is the only one that can comfort us, even for us, you know, married people. Even if you're married, if you don't have Christ, you can still be lonely. So only Christ can solve our loneliness, and only Christ is the medicine for our loneliness, and that's what I would say, yeah.
Mm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. What are you, Blaine?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, Christ gave the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. And then we often leave this out, that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I think that's exactly what Saran's talking about there, is that there's truth there, that he's with us to the end of the age. And we find comfort in that, great comfort. As I was sharing earlier, Danny, maybe on part one there about my brain surgery, and the brain being, you know, so complex the way it is. And I was affected. There's, you know, still a hole in my brain, I guess you could say. Actually, a real one, a permanent tissue. One. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's now filled in with scar tissue and all that. And you know, through that whole process, it was the left frontal lobe of the brain that was affected, and has a lot to do with our personality. And so I found myself, my personality really changed. Was always a positive person before. Became a little more negative. Was always an up person, you know, just up on everything. And then found myself being, you know, depressed about many things. And then for some reason, you know, just the... being able to be a patient person, and then after brain surgery, being an impatient person. And so God has had to work on me in many areas of my walk, you know, with Christ, that before naturally came pretty easy for me. And when I pastored before on Kauai, I think I relied a lot on my natural ability instead of God-given strength, which is what I should and what we're called to depend upon, the strength that God gives us. And now at the place that I'm at, through these past 12 years after my surgery, God's taught me a lot of lessons about that, about depending upon him for strength, and depending upon him for, like we said, that he is here for us, and that we're not lonely because of that. And to remember that during the times when I do get down, when I am more negative than God wants me to be, when I recognize that in my life, that right now I'm being impatient toward my kids, when God's convicted me that, you know, you need to be more patient with them. You need to be more patient and, you know, Christ-like in this situation. And, you know, and just the knowledge that Christ is there, that I'm not alone in this situation, that he does give me the strength to be able to be that type of person that I need to be. And just to calm myself, quiet myself, just simply to pray, knowing he's right there with me. And, is really what it takes for me to be able to handle the challenges of life. And
spoken from a veteran of a head injury changed personality, who knows depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's the blessing of having a caring woman who also understands. And there is a tenderness that I see in Saran's eyes, and you are a beneficiary of the blessing of God through your dear wife.
Amen.
Saran, as we speak of depression and loneliness, would you pray for someone right now who is just going through a really rough time and you can't express all of it? You just are going through it. Could you pray, please?
Yes. Lord Father, I just pray for the loved ones out there, that if they're going through time of hardship, of loneliness, of being alone, of feeling that they don't have anybody to turn to, Lord Father, you promise that you are there, that you are here always, that your word says, you know, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hear my voice, I will come in and sup with him. And you promise to stay with them. Lord, so I pray for the dear ones out there, that if they're lonely and if they're feeling just their life have no purpose or have no one to turn to, that they would turn to you, Lord Father, because you gave your life. You gave your life on the cross for all those who call upon your name. And I thank you for the privilege for me to pray for them. I pray that they would hear and that they would invite you to come into their lives right now, Lord Father. And we thank you for being a God who never sleeps nor slumbers. You are always our companion. And you always the one that we can go to and to leave our burden at your feet. Lord, I thank you for Danny and the ministry here. I ask in your son's most precious name, Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, this has been a very special blessing.
Thank you.
Blaine, Saran, thank you for coming and taking this time to share your life, to share your heart.
Thank you, Danny.
I feel your heart. I feel the tenderness. I feel the sensitivity that, that God has placed in you. And how blessed Palisades Baptist Church is to have you as your the pastoral couple, pastor, pastor's wife, and how blessed they are, how blessed the community is. Again, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And dear one, it's always a blessing to be with you. And that's why I hope you've been encouraged by the story of Blaine DeLoach and Sarah DeLoach, Saran DeLoach. Palisades Baptist Church, that's where they're at. You can find out more at palisadesbaptist.org. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. Do it, my friend. And if you haven't done so, hey, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Get to Know Jesus. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 56, verse 4, in God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Blaine and Saran DeLoach. Find out more at palisadesbaptist.org. Until next time, along with my techno producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.